Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We welcome everyone back, and coming up 2 weeks from Saturday, Penn State fans will gather in Atlanta. For the first time ever, Penn State will play in the Peach Bowl, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, and we are very pleased to have with us on the line the president and CEO of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, Gary Stokin. Gary, what a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having us, and Merry Christmas to you and all your fans and all your listeners.
Appreciate.
We look forward to providing some Southern hospitality in Atlanta for you.
And my understanding is the Chick-fil-A Bowl does it better than anybody, so we're looking forward to it very much. What did it mean to you to get, you know, Ole Miss is terrific, but what did it mean to you for the first time ever to get the brand of Penn State on your field?
Well, growing up in Pittsburgh and following Penn State and the Paterno teams, and had friends that went to school with and friends in Pittsburgh that actually played on Penn State football teams. You know, I know the brand is one of the best five brands in the country, and the teams are fantastic. I know James Franklin from Maryland when he coached in our game in 2003 when he was offensive coordinator, followed him all these years, and, you know, it truly was a blessing to see Penn State pop up on that screen on ESPN to see they were coming to the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. And as you mentioned, this is a year of first. First time Penn State will be in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. First time that Penn State will play Ole Miss. And it could be, with a win, the first time ever. And it'll go down in history because we're moving to the playoff next year. But Penn State would be the first and only team ever to win all six New Year's Six bowl games.
Absolutely, and that's all a chance for them to make history at a game that has great history. I mean, you presided over this for a long time. What kind of growth have you seen, and what did it mean that the Chick-fil-A Bowl, which then transitioned back to the Peach Bowl moniker, got back into the New Year's Six, or got into the New Year's Six?
Well, that's interesting. Our title sponsor prior to Chick-fil-A was, according to the media, was Weather Plague, because every report would come out the Weather Plague Peach Bowl, because our weather was so bad. We were known for, if you ask people in Atlanta, hey, have you been to the Peach Bowl? Yeah, it was the coldest I've ever been in my life until 1992, when we had the Georgia Dome where we could promise 72 degrees. And then in 1997, when Chick-fil-A signed on as the title sponsor, which now they're the longest title sponsor in college football history of a bowl game. They've been great partners. And for me, you know, I haven't volunteered when I was in my corporate life with Adidas and Converse as a volunteer on the board of the old Peach Bowl. To see it grow from, you know, struggling to now where we're part of the New Year's Six, you know, being 56 years old, and in the same sentence with bowls that are 105 years old, like the Rose Bowl, and 85 years old, like the Cotton and the Orange and the Sugar, and be a part of the New Year's Six has really been great to see. A tribute to a lot of people who've done a lot of hard work, and we're blessed to be a part of it.
It's interesting, as you mentioned, the Georgia Dome. I actually did a game in the Georgia Dome, but it was the NCAA tournament. So
yeah, that's right.
Didn't get a chance to do a game, a football game in there. All right.
Well, now I have a Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah.
Which I think is the best stadium in the country. Great sight line, great fan experience. The concessions are the lowest price concessions in any facility in America.
Yes.
And with a sold out, we expect a fully sold out crowd. It's going to be a dynamic experience for all the fans of Penn State, knowing obviously that, you know, when there's a whiteout or a Penn State game, it's to me, it's one of the top five experiences I've experienced in 45 years being in sports. But Mercedes-Benz is a special place when we get two college teams in there and, you know, two high-ranked teams like we'll have for the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Yeah, two teams that in a 12-team playoff both would have made it. And the I'm glad you brought up the concessions because I was going to bring that up. People don't realize that in that building, right, you're going to be surprised when you go up to the concession stand and say, really? I'll take two.
Yeah. You know, it's phenomenal. I give Arthur Blank all the credit in the world.
Yes.
He went to Levy and he said, look, here's what I'm going to pay you. Now you're out of the deal. You just service it. I'll name the prices of the stuff. And don't you know, he did more business than if they would have had to hire prices because people didn't eat before they went to the stadium like they used to because the stadium prices were too high. So now they buy their food in the stadium and, you know, they've made more money off having lower priced items than before. So great idea by him. And, you know, we're blessed to have him in Atlanta as somebody that really done a lot of great things in the city.
Gary, let's talk about the value of bowl games and the value of the Peach Bowl. What is the value to the community in terms of what it does to give back and to charities and so forth, and the value, in your opinion, of the game itself?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. We were founded in 1968. It's the ninth oldest bowl game in the country, but we're the first bowl game founded for charity. And so we've kept that as part of our DNA all these years. We've given $62 million to charity, which sets us apart as the number one most charitable bowl organization in the country. We recently gave $20 million to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta to start trials and find cures to eradicate childhood cancer.
Wow.
We now have 12 trials with 37 kids in them, and our leukemia trial is going to its second phase, and I think one of the places they're going to use is Pittsburgh Children's Hospital.
Wow.
But, you know, we're using football for the greater good. We have $9.3 million in endowed scholarships in 35 universities throughout the country of teams that have played in our bowl game or our kickoff game. We'll donate $50,000 to each team from the Peach Bowl this year. Chick-fil-A corporately will match that, so we'll have $100,000 in an endowed scholarship that we'll give to Penn State University as well as Ole Miss for playing in our game. So it's something that's very, very important to us to give back through college football. And we do, you know, we do economic impact as well, like the rose and the sugar and the orange and the cotton, where, you know, we'll probably with our kickoff game and our bowl game, you know, we're typically somewhere around close to $100 million in economic impact, which translates to about, you know, $6 million in state sales tax. And we're typically about $5 to $6 million per year in charitable donations. So, you know, college football has a big impact on Atlanta. We're the fourth largest convention town in the United States. Our AFC game and our Peach Bowl are two of the top five conventions in the fourth largest convention town in the country. So that's how, and you put the SEC championship in there, three of the top five conventions on an annual basis in Atlanta are college football games. So that's how important college football is to Atlanta. Then you add on top of that having the College Football Hall of Fame there, having the longest run kickoff game, you know, college football, very, very important to Atlanta. A lot of media have called us the capital of college football.
And justifiably so. And on top of it, you talked about James Franklin being down there, and you remember him, you remember the game specifically. Gary, you've done this for a while. How important are relationships to you?
You know, we talked about that today at the press conference. I'm sorry, with Brian Tripp afterwards. You know, I told people I don't root for teams. I root for people. And I said, you know, being in this business to get people to play in our kickoff game, to get people to play in our golf tournament, which is the preeminent golf tournament for college coaches in the country. And before we moved into the CFP, I was responsible for selecting the teams for the old Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. It really is something that is very simple in my mind. People want to do business with people they like,
yep,
number one, who they consider friends, number two, and who they trust and will do business and will deliver on what they say they're going to do. So, you know, sales to me has never been hard. Building relationships is what it's all about. And, you know, we have an external business philosophy that I created called CARE, which is C is for customer, always treat the customer first. A is for attitude, bring a great attitude to everything you do. R is relationships, build deep, long-lasting relationships. So you can do business with someone today, and in 20 years, they'll want to still do business with you again. And then E is for excellence. We strive for excellence in all that we do. So, you know, that's our philosophy, and I think that's pretty much what's held us in good stead all these years.
How excited are you about the Pure game because of the styles of the teams involved?
Yeah, I said in our initial press conference with both coaches when CFP announced the matchup, I said styles make for great fights. And when you look at the defense, which total defense, Penn State's number one in the country and third overall in passing defense efficiency, and some other categories. And you look at Ole Miss offense, which they have a top 10 quarterback, top 10 running back, top 20 offense. At the end of the day, you're going to see a great offense against a great defense. I think one of the keys, or two of the keys of the game, are going to be Penn State's defense ability to play against the team that gets a playoff every 23 seconds.
Yep.
And playing against a hurry-up offense is a different kind of defense you got to play, because you're not always going to get substitutions in for different plays, different situations in the game, different downs. You got to be ready to play, because they put that ball down and they're right on it without any huddle. I think secondarily, the turnovers, which any coach will tell you is typically the telltale sign of the game, but both these teams are very stingy in giving the ball up, but very efficient in getting the ball back. So I think turnovers and Penn State's ability to deal with the hurry-up offense are going to be two real keys to this game.
Final topic I want to go to is that of bowl games themselves. There are some that have a narrative, and it's a narrative, that, oh, they're meaningless exhibitions, right? You and I, of course, feel, we talked about this before, feel very strongly 180 of that. So tell us from your point of view what these games mean, not just for the sport itself, but for the players as well.
Well, I used one example over the 26 years I've been doing this. Frank Beamer, after his Virginia Tech team played in our game, he had all the seniors get up and just talk to the rest of the team and the coaches about what it meant to be a part of the team, to be a part of Virginia Tech's football heritage, to play next to their brothers, to play for the coaches they played for, to say what they learned about themselves individually as well as collectively, and how to be a part of a team. And all these things lead to what people are going to have to do when they get in the real world and when they get in the business world. You know, I was fortunate enough to play basketball at North Carolina State, mm-hmm, and coach basketball there. And there's no greater teacher than sports. You deal with winning, you deal with losing, you deal with adversity, you deal with, as Bill Curry said in his book, 10 Men in a Huddle.
Yep.
You know, you can have a white kid from the hills of North Carolina and a black kid from the streets of L.A. and a Jewish kid and a Catholic kid and none of that matters when you get in the huddle, mm-hmm. because you're dependent upon each other, and you're dependent upon that person next to you doing their job so that you can do your job and vice versa. And if you both do your jobs, you have a chance to be victorious and win the day, win the play, win the game, etc. And that's the same with life. And I think we're losing some of that with the entitlement factor and some of the process we're going through in college athletics now. And I worry about that, frankly, because sports has been one of the great teachers of our society. And we're making it a little bit too much about money and not about all the inherent relationships and educational aspects that you receive by being as a member of a part of a team.
Yeah, and that's why a previous question, when we talked about money, we talked about how much money is donated back by the bowl games. That's a factor in money as well, is the donation part. And I don't think people realize how much money is given back, which you did a great job of outlining. Gary, I really look forward to going down there, broadcasting it, and yes, since you have all those Pittsburgh roots, what the heck, I'll bring Jack Ham with me.
Well, I look forward to meeting Jack Ham, and look forward to meeting you as well and providing you some Southern hospitality, and really enjoying a great week of congratulations to Penn State for what they've achieved. And again, this could be the 20th team that will have accomplished 11-win season in Penn State history and send their seniors out the right way, finish top 10 in the country, and really give them an opportunity to set up for next year what could be, again, another successful season moving into the 12-team playoff for Penn State.
Gary, Peach Bowl defines class and first class, and we appreciate the fact that Penn State's going, and on top of that, appreciate the time you gave us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, Gary. All right. Gary Stokin, the president, CEO of the Peach Bowl. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. That's one of the first-class guys in this business. It's one of those I've never met Gary before, but we have mutual friends, and all they've told me over the years is, "Oh, this guy is, you know, this guy is great about this. He's great about that. He gets this. He gets." I'm like, "Oh, okay." That's like one of those guys. Like, boy, one of these days I may get a chance to meet a guy like that. Then you have him on the show, and you just find out that whatever mutual friends have told you over the years is spot on. The bowl games, and he's right about, let's face it, money is driving a lot of things. And, you know, I told him earlier, this wasn't on the air, the two of us were chit-chatting for a while. And I said, you know, we understand that, you know, there's a possibility that, you know, like what happened with Jalen Smith in Notre Dame, what happened with Jake Butt of Michigan can happen. It does. And Jake Butt will tell you that he would, if he were to play in the game, he'd do it all over again. Because the other part, too, is that no matter what you do, I mean, and if you're going to play hard. And the reason is, the reason is quite simple. Sometimes you'll sit there and if you back off a bit, becomes a problem. Look, it all started with Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette. And I think that if you want to look at a bowl game as a meaningless exhibition, that's your prerogative. You're entitled to your opinion. I have never held that opinion. To me, a game is a game. To me, playing with your team and the commitment you made is to your team. I mean, I understand when people make decisions like Chop did, which I totally understand that. And right, but then there's a guy like Theo Johnson who decided, yeah, I'm going to go to the draft, but I'm going to play. Great.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Prudy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, RV, motorcycle, whatever you need, they'll get, fulfill the insurance need because they want to make sure you're fully insured. And then whatever they can do to save you money. Certain insurances allow you to go over state lines so you can do some shopping. Sometimes it may be bundles, but again, it is their job to make sure you're fully insured, save you money. Customer service means everything to them. Well, at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Great pros who are great people. Those are the best ones to deal with. Great pros who are great people. That's Purdy Insurance. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. Now, Gary Stokin is just one of those guys you love to deal with because he's just throwing his heart and soul into this. And by the way, the Peach Bowl, I talk about money. Since 2015, they've donated $32 million to charities. $32 million. When people start talking about bowl games being, quote, meaningless exhibitions, they don't see the whole picture about what's going on. Yeah, I mean, for example, I think when I saw Sam Hartman, the quarterback at Notre Dame, opted out of the Sun Bowl today. Yeah. Okay. Wants to get ready for the draft. I thought that was the whole purpose of transferring to Notre Dame, was to get ready for the draft for 1 year. But what can a coach say about that? Coaches can't say anything about it. Because if a coach says anything about it, right, let's be honest about it, it's going to be used against them in recruiting. So, you know, it can't happen. So everybody today has to play it cautious with their opinions. Now, Gary was very upfront about how he felt about it, you know, and it's no question it's, you know, to get everybody in there is good for his game. So I understand that. But it's not as if these bowl games don't do a tremendous amount for the community. I mean, so you look at just a couple of quick things, for example. They donated $500,000 to the Boys and Girls Clubs of Metro Atlanta in partnership with the Same House. Their children fundraising campaign is underway. I mean, they do a lot of this. Again, they've donated $32 million since 2015 to charities. Right? Charity initiatives include the Peach Bowl Legacy Fund, the John Lewis Legacy of Courage Scholarship, Academic Mentoring Program in Atlanta Public Schools, College Football Playoff Foundation, Extra Yard for Teachers Programs, Head Coach Foundation's Charities, Lions Lighthouse Foundation, and Vision Screening Initiative. It was just some of it. Okay? Since 2002, just to let everybody know, they've committed, donated, and committed $62 million in charity and scholarship contributions to organizations in need. $32 million of that since 2015. I mean, and he's right. I mean, and I'm glad he brought up the concessions, because I was going to bring that up to all of you. Anybody going to the game? You will be shocked when you go to the concession stand, because Arthur Blank, and I did a segment on the show about this back, I don't know, 2 years ago, I think we did this, about the concessions at Mercedes-Benz Dome. Right? And it's a great story. Mercedes-Benz Dome prices. Which is amazing. Now listen to this. Okay? The top, top five cheapest NFL stadiums for food and drink. And these stay the same. By these prices, it's the SEC Championship game, a Falcons game, or a Peach Bowl game, or the SEC Championship game. Okay? Cost of a beer, $5. Cost of a hot dog, $2. I mean, this is the way it is in the stadium. Parking, about $23.10. Now, Lumen Field in Seattle is a little cheaper. So is NRG Stadium in Houston. But that's right up there with, you know, where they rank. It really is remarkable. Because he was bound and determined Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, was bound and determined that, hey, look, we're going to cap this. And by the way, Miami's pretty good, too. Where the Dolphins play, it's not bad either. Parking's more expensive, though. A lot more expensive there. Right? You want the same beer and dog at SoFi Stadium? Instead of paying $7 for the combination, you pay $19 there. Tampa Bay, Bucks, $19. Highmark, Bills, $18.75. Soldier Field, $18.50. Bank Field over at Jacksonville, $18.25. Atlanta, $7 for the combo. Yeah. Credit where credit is due. Credit where credit's due. Yeah, and that goes to Arthur Blank. So. Okay. So let's. Did the suit finally go out and start selling?
I haven't heard him in a while.
That doesn't mean anything.
Well, that's true, too. But
although I will say this, right? Actually, for the most part, you can hear him. He's one of those loud talkers. I'm here! Like, oh, boy. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, Shohei Ohtani gets $70 million. Kind of close to what the suit gets. At least that's what he told us.
I think he'd be a lot happier if he was 70. If he got $70 million.
Look, if he's not angry, he's not happy. Okay, that's just the way he is.
True.
I mean, certain people, if he's not angry, he's not happy. Oh, goodness gracious. The Kadarius Toney play is just, I mean, I thought there was a series of entertaining games over the weekend. Steelers into Patriots was not one of them, although it was close. But it was close, but weird. But the Bills game was really good with the Chiefs. I really enjoyed the Ravens game that went overtime. where on the punt return by Wallace, they were able to beat the Rams. And the Cowboys-Eagles had a big buildup, but you could tell by the end of the first quarter, the Eagles were in trouble. I mean, I could tell. I don't know what you thought.
I think after that, when Hurts fumbled the ball away, I think that was probably... Yeah. I think if they're able to get a touchdown there, they're able to stay in it at least a little longer. But I think after that fumble was, you know, I think that kind of took some of the wind out of the sails. And, you know, the Cowboys, you know, a lot of the talk has been about how good that offense is. But, you know, that as everybody knows, that defense, that Cowboys defense is real good right now.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing well. So I also have good news for America. The NBA in-season tournament is over. Did you watch any of it?
The championship game was on behind me in the office on Saturday night when I was working. But other than that, no, I didn't get a chance to watch much. Every time I turned and looked, I hate to sound like an old man, but those courts were just too much for my eyes.
Yeah. They should have played in the Sphere. That's where they should have played. Kevin Kugler went over to the Sphere before. You know what? I should text Kevin because I said, which game? I saw Kevin on Wednesday. He says, which game do you have this weekend? He says, well, he says, I've got the Vikings and the Raiders. You go, oh boy. 3-0. 3-0.
I think it was 0-0 to the 2-minute warning.
Yes. The final was 3-0. When Joseph, the kicker's named your offensive player of the game, that's not good. Wow. Yikes. I'm looking at when I was done with the football banquet yesterday, I get home, and so, you know, that's when I started watching the Ravens-Rams game. Yeah, the Browns game was on, too, against Jacksonville. And it saw a little bit of that, but mostly the Ravens and the Rams. Compelling. I thought Lamar Jackson played a great game yesterday. But I'm looking at the bottom, and the score keeps coming up. Nothing, nothing. Nothing, nothing. Real. I said, it's at the end of the third quarter, middle of the fourth quarter. Still nothing, nothing. Right? Vikings beat Raiders in lowest scoring NFL game in 16 years. Greg Joseph, 36-yard field goal. Todd, as you accurately stated, 1:57 to play. Right? They say that it prevented the teams from setting the league back 80 years. Okay? Pittsburgh, the Steelers beat Miami 3-0 on November 26, 2007. The third in the past 40 years and the seventh in the Super Bowl era. The last time there was a lower scoring game than this was the Giants and the Detroit Lions, who played a scoreless tie November 7th, 1943. Nick Mullins relieved an ineffective Joshua Dobbs. No offense, how effective was Nick Mullins? He was 9-13 for 83 yards. Right. Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell. I felt like my trust in Nick with his preparation, he could be called upon. We made sure he got some reps last week, just in case he needed to go. Ay, 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 ay.
I feel like the Josh Dobbs bubble has burst.
But again, Todd, what is he? He's a backup quarterback.
Yeah. Who got hot?
but a backup quarterback, this is what a backup quarterback does. That's why it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Jake Browning moving forward here with Cincinnati. They're really supposed to do the job for a couple of games for you. And then at that point, people get some video, right? And there's a reason why you're a backup quarterback, right? So we'll see how Browning plays out. But you're supposed to be able to hold the fort for a couple of games. Well, he held the fort for a couple of games. But everybody then gets a read on who you are and what they're trying to do with you, and I think that then it becomes a problem. That's why you're not a starter. And, yeah. 3-0. But the Vikings are 7-6 and right in the thick of the playoff picture. All right.
Parody.
Real parody. Oh. Now let's give credit where credit's due to the Bears. The Bears beat Detroit. And I think Detroit's pretty darn good. And the Bears shut them out in the second half yesterday. Now, the Bears do have a good defense. And Justin Fields did enough yesterday. And he is doing things in such a way where, let's be straight, he's making an interesting decision as to what they're going to do in the draft. Because remember, they have Carolina's pick. So if they want to draft a quarterback, they could.
It sounds like they are.
Which... I know. And you know, he's trying to do enough. Yeah. We'll see. Now, Thursday Night Football, Chargers-Raiders. Prime Video. Herbert won't play, broke his finger. Raiders are coming off that offensive explosion. Then the Vikings will play the Bengals on Saturday. That's the game on NFL Network at 1. The Steelers play the Colts on NFL Network at 4:30. The Broncos then play the Lions on NFL Network Saturday night at 8:15 from Ford Field. Not bad. The Jets play the Dolphins on Sunday. The Dolphins will play tonight. Texans and Titans, but C.J. Stroud's in concussion protocol. Tampa Bay and Green Bay. Packers play the Giants tonight. Giants play the Saints. Falcons play Carolina. Man, that game's at Carolina. And the Falcons are only 3-point favorites? Really? Wow. Bears-Browns. Browns are playing pretty well, especially on defense. Chiefs-Patriots. That game got flexed out of prime time. 49ers-Cardinals. The 49ers are 92-point favorites. It's a big number. Commanders-Rams in Los Angeles. Bills and the Cowboys on Fox. That should be a pretty good game on Sunday. And then the Ravens and the Jags are the primetime game next week. And Eagles and Seahawks are Monday night. So there you go. All right, we'll wrap it up here in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Olu Fashanu, first-team AP All-America. Chop Robinson, third-team AP All-American. Put out today. So Olu, first-team. Chop, third-team. And how about Jalen Daniels winning the Heisman Trophy? His mother demanded he graduate in 3 years. He did. All right, today's show has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Neil Kulong tomorrow will talk about the Steelers. Really? Maybe we'll talk about lining up off sides. You can have talent, but if you don't know how to play the game, it's not going to matter. You have to have the combination of both.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.